not doing bad. But if we then ask the question, what do you think of Jesus? Many, I suspect, would wonder why you even asked. Isn't belief in God and following his ways good enough, regardless of who God might be? But if you then asked, is belief in Jesus the only way to get to heaven, you would not get 90% of your sample answering yes. In fact, it would be a lot lower than 10%. The link that we, as Christian people here this morning, might like to make between Jesus and God is not one that people automatically make. And yet the question of what is the link between Jesus and God is one that we must keep on asking. The book of John is a book where we are repeatedly invited to take a look at the life of Jesus. And as we do this, we are confronted with a man who people say incredible things about and who himself makes extraordinary claims. So remember John the Baptist. He said in chapter 1, verse 17, grace and truth came through this man. And then Jesus with his claims that we've seen as we've been working our way through. Chapter 4, whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Or chapter 6, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And as we come to our passage today in chapter 8, we see that Jesus continues on in making claims for himself. So let's have a read from verse 12. Or we'll just read verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Well, we see here that he claims to be, firstly, the giver of life, and secondly, the light of life. So he is making a claim to life. Now, the occasion of this speech is the Feast of the Tabernacles. The festival was a thanksgiving for the harvest of wine, fruit, and olives. It was combined with thankful rememberings for God's provision during the 40 years of wandering through the desert. And people who came to the festival camped out in shelters of leafy branches set on housetops, or they just camped in the fields. And this was to remind them in a vivid way of what it would have been like for those who camped in the desert for some 40 years. But toward the end of the feast, people went down into the court of the women, and golden lamps were there, and four golden bowls were on each of them. Now, we're not just talking about little lamps that you can carry around. The lamps were huge. They were massive. Four ladders were beside them, huge ladders, so that people could climb them and pour the oil into the bowls. And wicks were made from the trousers and the girdles of the priests. Can you imagine it? I don't know about setting the priests on fire, but, you know, cut a little bit off perhaps and make the wick. And the lighting effect was just incredible. A little bit like when the lights were off in the city the other day, except imagine that that happened at around, late at night as well, and then blackout everywhere. But into that darkness, the SCG was lit up. It was like that. Every place in Jerusalem was bright from the light of these lamps. And religious men would then dance with other torches, and there were psalms and spiritual songs being sung. And it was a big party, lots of noise from harps and cymbals. It was a huge celebration, a celebration of light. And it is in this situation that Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. That was the occasion. But what about the background? Well, Psalm 27, verse 1, the Israelites were trained to sing, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Their Lord, of course, being their God. And in Isaiah, we read of the servant that was to come, as we had read for us. And we read, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Light representing life. And so bringing light to the Gentiles, salvation. And in Isaiah 60, the sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. So what sort of a claim is Jesus making? Well, it's no less than a claim to be God. To be the one who is going to intervene in history with a view to bringing life and light. Now, that's the statement he makes about himself, but it's not just some theoretical statement. See, look at the second part of the verse. We'll read the first part, but then take note of the second part. I am the light of the world, says Jesus. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Various things that people can follow, but whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. See, action needs to be taken. Jesus claims to give life, life that is eternal, life that is great in quality and not just quantity. But we see here that Christianity is not just a matter of belief, but is also a matter of action. It is not just saying yes to an idea, but it is a person that we must get involved with, and we must follow him wherever it might take us. Now, seeing as the message on the front of the bulletin was to do with sport, let me just ask you, any rugby league fans here? Up the back, we have one. Well, we had a famous rugby league player here last year with a baptism, but last week, Ray Price. If you weren't here, you missed him. You could have met him. Who do you support? West Tigers. Okay. Hands up if you have pity on him. No, only joking. But if I said, so you're a big West Tigers fan, fine. And if I said, now, do you enjoy going to the games? And you said, no, I don't go to the games. And if I said, well, you watch them on TV, he says, no, I don't watch them on TV. I'd rather watch a movie. Well, you read about them in the sports pages, and he said, no, I don't do that either. Well, you wear their footy jumper when you go out. No, I don't like wearing footy jumpers. But I do follow the West Tigers. What would you conclude? Doesn't follow the West Tigers at all, or any other team for that matter. And you know, people are like that with Christianity. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Do you read the Bible? Not really. Do you pray? Well, when I'm in trouble. Do you meet with other Christians? Come to church on Sunday? No, too busy. Well, you don't have anything to do with Jesus, really. Well, I suppose not. But I am a Christian. To which we must say, I don't think so. So you see the point? We must follow. It's not the following that gets us right with God. That's, of course, we're saved by faith and we all know that and we want to affirm that. But whoever follows me, whoever takes action, says Jesus, will never walk in darkness. We have to follow. So there's a big claim to be the giver of life to all those who follow him. But we see another claim in verse 36. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, this freedom is described. Now, freedom, of course, is something that many societies proclaim, and we want to proclaim that as being a great thing to do with our society. Franklin Roosevelt, in a speech to the American Congress, spoke of freedom in four areas: freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom of want, and freedom of fear. It's not bad, is it? Not bad for a politician. It's very good. But what is Jesus on about? This freedom is described in verse 51 as freedom from death. No politician, no matter how good they are, can offer that. That's a pretty big claim. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. See, the emphasis is on action again. If anyone keeps my word, they will never see death. So Jesus turns up and he makes these huge claims. But the Jews challenge his claims. In verse 13, they say, in effect, you're not telling the truth. In verse 25, they say, who are you? In other words, who do you think you are to make those claims? In verse 52, you're possessed by a demon. Abraham died and so did the prophets. And they were big time. And yet you come along and say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus had said he's the light of the world. And what the Jews are showing is that they are well and truly in the dark. They are in the dark about who they really are and where they stand in relationship to God, and they're in the dark about Jesus and his Father. See, in verse 19, he says to them, "You think you know God?" But he says, "You don't know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father as well." See, they thought they knew God. They thought that they were specially privileged. They were his people. But Jesus says, "Think again. You do not know God." Because if they knew Jesus, they would know God the Father. But because they didn't really know him, then their claim to know God is just a nonsense. See, to know God, you have to get to know Jesus. And in terms of wanting to win friends and influence people, well, Jesus is blunt, and he takes it up one step further in verse 21. He said, "I'm going away and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." Now, they're not going to be disappointed when Jesus clears out. They want to get rid of him. No, they'll keep looking for the one who was promised to save them. They will keep looking for the Messiah. They will keep looking for the one that the Old Testament describes as the light of life. But they will make a tragic mistake. The one that they were looking for had arrived in Jesus, and yet they rejected him. So they will die in their sin, the sin of rejecting the only one who could save them. Yes, to claim to know God is not enough. One has to believe in Jesus. It is only those who believe in him and have a relationship with him who truly know God. To look for salvation anywhere else is as pointless as the Jews continually searching for the Messiah. They will die in their sins, says Jesus. So as we reflect on the claims of Jesus to give life and freedom, we must ask ourselves, what do we make of these claims? Are we in the light, or are we still in the dark? How do we assess Jesus and his claims? And when we think of God, do our thoughts automatically run to him? Do we connect the two? Do we think of him as the one who gives life and freedom? Or are we those who perhaps just look at him with idle curiosity? What is our assessment of Jesus? But even more importantly, we must ask, what is Jesus' assessment of us? Does he see someone who is still groping around in the dark, or someone who is following the one who is the light of the world? Now, if you're not sure about Jesus and his claims, then next term, we're wanting everyone in the church to do Christianity Explored, which is a great starting point to look at Jesus and the things that he claimed. And so I hope that you will be involved in that. But when Jesus looks at you and he looks at me, does he see someone forgiven, or someone who has rejected the truth, or someone that is not following him? Does he see a child of God, or a child of the evil one? Because you know, you can only fall into one of the two categories. You're either a child of God, and you're a child of God by following Jesus, or you are a child of the devil. And perhaps we just need to take a moment and to let that sink in, as we are those who are wanting to connect with our community. People who haven't accepted Jesus according to the scriptures are children of the evil one. You might have wonderful neighbours, but if they don't know Jesus, they are children of the evil one. You might have wonderful in-laws, or wonderful sons and daughters-in-law, but if they don't know Jesus, then they too belong to the devil. Now, I'm not saying that they're not good people. I am not saying that they're not wonderful people. I'm not saying that they don't contribute to society. But if people do not know the Lord Jesus, then they are slaves to the evil one. And so if we love them, we will want to introduce them to Jesus, will we not? But it's such a huge task. Well, what can you do? You can take the CMS principle, begin in a small way. There's an opportunity this Easter to invite people along. Still got a dozen bundles of leaflets, that's one thing you can do. Go for a walk this afternoon and stick them in a letterbox. And pray as you stick them in. Pray for the people. Pray that they will come to know the Lord Jesus. You can pluck up the courage and ask someone to come along. Say, come along Good Friday, 9:30, then come back for hot cross buns and coffee. Pretty simple thing to do. Should be praying for those that we know. And you know, if you don't have non-Christian friends, then you're hanging around this place too much. You need to get some. Now, gentlemen, here's something for you. If you don't have non-Christian friends and you're just hanging out and doing all that stuff at church, well, withdraw a little bit and say to your wife, I'm going out to the golf course to play golf with a mate. And they don't know Jesus yet and I want to get to know them. Well, there's a great opportunity. And ladies, I'm sure you have an equivalent. The book club, the playgroup, the coffee shop, the tennis, whatever. But I'm serious. We can be those that are so busy doing all the Christian stuff that we lose sight of what we ought to be doing. Now, the stuff still needs to be done. But let's balance it out. Yes, those who don't acknowledge the truth are children of the evil one, but those who do are children of God who have life and freedom. Don't we want that for people? True life, true freedom. What an encouragement. And so as God's people in this place, let's not keep the good news to ourselves, but this Easter and beyond, let's pray and work that the light of the world will shine his light into our community here. Let us connect with our community. Let us be thinking of those that we can be sharing with. Because in the words of a popular song, we do have the words of eternal life. How could we ever keep them in? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now that's a message that our world needs to hear. Now, I was going to get you to actually write down the name of someone that you're wanting to pray for and to share it with the person next to you, but time won't permit that. But do it when you get home. Stick a bit of paper in your Bible. Write down the names of one or two people that you know that you're going to pray for, and perhaps share it with someone in your small group so that you can pray for them on a regular basis, so that people can be introduced to Jesus, the one who is the light of the world. Let me pray. Our Father God, we do thank you that the way that we get to know you is through Jesus, the one who is the bread of life, the one who is the light of the world. The one who comes to him will never thirst or hunger again. Father, we thank you that we have come to know you through Jesus. But Lord, may we not keep it to ourselves, but may we have a great desire to introduce Jesus to our community around us. And so help us to put ourselves out, to take risks, to be prepared to speak to people, to be prepared to put a leaflet in a letterbox, to be bold and to ask people to come to church this Easter, for Kids Easter, or Good Friday, or whenever. And Lord, help us to continue to be those who love and care for those around us and who speak up about the Lord Jesus. We acknowledge our fear, but we ask for courage and we ask for boldness. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.